Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. What is, let's just, Chodesh Tov. What happened in Chodesh Tammuz? Let's just discuss just different ideas of relating to Chodesh Tammuz. Then we're gonna try to learn something inside to get a better appreciation and try to figure out something. Chodesh Tammuz, historically, was the month when Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim. Right after Matan Torah, took place either Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan. It's Machlokes in the Gemara when exactly it took place. Moshe went to Shemayim, and he told the people, "I will be back in 40 days. Behave yourself. Don't get into trouble. I'm appointing people to take over for me. If you have any shilas, here's the hotline. Behave yourself." And what happened? Moshe went. That was Chodesh Sivan. So Chodesh Sivan spans the end of most of Sivan and the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz. And then it was Shavuos B'Tammuz, the 7th day of Tammuz, and Moshe was supposed to come down, and Moshe didn't show up. They thought he would come down early in the morning on the 7th day of Tammuz, and Vayhi ki boishesh Moshe lovoi. Moshe, in their eyes, was delayed. Chazal darshin, boishesh. Boishesh means delayed. And Nedarshan, it was already the 6th Chatzos Hayoim. And Moshe's not here. Moshe was supposed to come down from the mountain Alois HaShachar, early in the morning. And look at that, he's late. Something's not right. And they made the Egel. No, I'm sorry, that was the day before. They thought that Moshe was supposed to come down. I'm confused. Whatever it is, we all know the story, the details. We have to get back to the details. But Moshe came late, and Moshe came down, and he shattered the luchos, and that began a whole long process of Chorban. Okay, we know we're coming soon to the Bein HaMitzarim in Chodesh Tammuz. This began the process Shviras HaLuchos, Teshuvah. Moshe, Hashem wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe had to go up to Shemayim for another 80 days until HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael, and we were forgiven, and that came out on Yom Kippur. Okay, so the process of the Shviras HaLuchos and our and Heosfo Elai Kol B'nei Levi all began in Chodesh Tammuz and culminated with Yom Kippur, with Hashem forgiving Klal Yisrael, and with the instructions now to build the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan began on the 15th day of Sukkot, the 15th day of Tishrei, which is the Yom Tif of Sukkot. The Yom Tif of Sukkot coincides with the Haskalah of the building of the Mishkan. Now, what do we take out of that? From all of the months of the year, the month of Tammuz is the saddest, not Av. Chodesh Av is not the saddest month of the year, because Av, what happened in Chodesh Av? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What happened when Chodesh Av began? When Chodesh Av began, it was just a regular month. You know, we have a Beis HaMikdash, a very nice place of the Hashras HaShchina. Obviously, in the last year, it wasn't so pleasant. There was a war going on. But they had the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever that means, it means. I don't know what it means exactly, the last 9 days that the Beis HaMikdash existed. What exactly was the tzura of the Beis HaMikdash during those last 9 days? I don't know. But they had a Beis HaMikdash. Then came the Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and they no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. It was a month in which a tragedy occurred. Chodesh Tishrei to Tammuz was very much different. Chodesh Tammuz began with excitement, anticipation, a yearning for happiness. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. When Chodesh Tammuz began, people were excited. They were looking forward to something. What were they looking forward to? Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from Shemayim with the luchos in his hands. The haluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema. And what was written on the luchos was the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The month began with excitement, anticipation, the yearning for a happy, exciting moment in life. Everyone here can relate to that. If you have in your family a simcha that's coming up and you enter into a new month or into a new week, oh, this week my grandson is getting married. This week my granddaughter is graduating. This week something big is happening. My daughter or my granddaughter, I'm expecting a grandchild or a great-grandchild. It's the due date for my first great-grandchild. We all can relate to that type of feeling. You're entering into a new time, whether it's a new month, it's a new year, it's a new week, even a new day. Today, something very special is going to happen. And I'm happy. I'm looking forward for real, with a real sense of feeling of joy. Klal Yisrael never experienced such a feeling of anticipation and yearning for something enjoyable like the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemayim, and it's going to be a couple of days until Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Shemayim. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu will come down from Shemayim, and he's going to bring the luchos. It's exciting. And what happened? Klal Yisrael went, they worship the eagle. Moshe comes down, he destroys the luchos. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hedef mimenu ve'ash midem. You know something? I'm fed up with these people. I'm going to destroy them. It's over. There's nothing more to discuss. It has come to an end. Now, there could be nothing more devastating than that. And when the month was over, Moshe Rabbeinu was still in limbo. Moshe Rabbeinu was now in the middle of the second set of 40 days, trying to defend Klal Yisrael, to save Klal Yisrael from the Ashmidim. I'm going to destroy you. That's Chodesh Tammuz. It is the ultimate disappointment. It's one thing to have a tragedy, to suffer tragedy in the middle of the month. Okay, that's life. You know, life of Rachman al-Stan, they're full of tragedies. But when you go, but there was no expectation. We have something, and Rachman al-Stan, we have no choice. Hashem nos and Hashem lokach. Chodesh Av, we had a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem took it away. It's a tragedy. But Chodesh Tammuz is much, much worse. When we entered into the month, it was a month of anticipation for good, for something exciting. Moshe will come down with Hashem's gift to Klal Yisrael. When the month was over, we were in a matzav of limbo where Hashem said, the Ashmidim, they will no longer be the Jewish people. We have gone from one extreme to another. We've gone me'igra rama, what's the expression in the Gemara? Libira amuka. We've gone from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. The feeling of excitement, of yearning, has been transformed into an anxiety, a pachad of our demise. That's very frightening. There is no equivalent in the entire Jewish year, any month that comes anywhere near this frightening reality of the up and down. Like I said, Chodesh Av is not like that. Chodesh Av is just like the status quo. You start off Chodesh Av in a matzav of whatever, and then there was a Chorban. There wasn't a change. There wasn't an about face, a reversal of our feeling, our yearning for good to result in Agmas Nefesh and Tsar. That's Chodesh Tammuz. And Chodesh Tammuz, that's a very painful reality of what Chodesh Tammuz is all about. And it demands of us to reflect upon this principle and to be mispalel. And we have a principle in Halacha, Zeh l'uma zeh bara Elokim. Everything that we have that in one element is negative, it has to be that in that very same principle there is the extreme opposite, which means from all of the months of the year, the month that we can be transformed from a feeling, a frame of mind of going into the month of just, oh no, it's all over. I have no expectation to ever achieve success. There's no hope. It's all gloom and doom. There's all chorban. It can be a total reversal. That by the time the month is over, your frame of mind has changed to such a degree where you have hope and yearning for success like you never had in your entire life. Let me give you an example. Someone, I was talking to someone yesterday in learning, we discussed the following example. Someone asked me a question. Why is it that a person can go and live with a married woman or a person who he's not allowed to be with and produce a mamzer? Could you imagine that a person, there's no one that's in a worse state in Klal Yisrael than a mamzer. A mamzer is lo yovoi mamzer b'kahal Hashem, period. There's no exceptions. A mamzer is a very troubled person. How does a person become a mamzer? He didn't do anything wrong. What did he do wrong? Nothing. Garnished. He was born because his father lived with a woman whom he's not allowed to live with a married woman or with whatever another relative that he's not allowed to live with, and that produces, the woman got pregnant, has a child. The child is a mamzer. So the person's question is, how could it be that the person, the father, he's off the hook? He's off the hook. He can go back to shul. He can get an aliyah. He can marry whoever he wants. He can live a regular life. No one will ever say a bad word, say, oh, you're a mamzer. No one's going to deny him anything. He can resume. He can do teshuvah. He can resume his life. If he's a rich guy, you can bet your bottom buck he'll be honored by all of the Jewish institutions. They'll forget very quickly that he was born on Eishes Ish. Kesef ya'ane esakol. But the child that he produced, the illegitimate child, is a disgrace, has nowhere to hide, nowhere he can hide, because that's what he is. He's a mamzer. How could it be a person can create in this world a human being that is miserable? And he himself is not miserable. He himself gets off scot-free. How could such a thing exist? A kohen who's a kohen. He lives with a woman, a grusha. He marries a grusha. And he has a baby. He has a child. The child is a cholol. The child cannot do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And the kohen, as long as he remains married to the grusha, also can't do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But he comes one day into the Beis HaMikdash. I want to do Avodah. I want to do. I also, I'm a Kohen. You're married to a Grusha. Okay, you know, I don't really like her anyway. You know, we don't get along. You know what? I'll divorce her. It's not so complicated for me. We don't get along, so I'll divorce her. He goes home. He gives her a get. He comes back and he says, guess what? 10 minutes ago, I gave her a get. Can I do the Avodah now? Yeah, of course. You're a Kohen. You're no longer married to a grusha, so you can do the avodah. And what about his child? He comes. I want to do the avodah. No, you can't. My father's a kohen. Your father's a kohen. He's not a cholol. Me, but you're a cholol. You're the product of your father marrying a grusha. You cannot do avodah. But my father got divorced. Good for him. It's not going to help you. You remain off limits, also, no matter what. There's nothing you can do to resolve your situation, but your father is resolved. It's not fair. Why is that reality? Why is it possible that a person can cause more harm to someone else, and yet he himself remains immune to the damage? Sorry? Can you hear me? That's the most popular words this year in language this year. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me? Everyone, please mute yourself. Those are the most popular expressions that will go down for the year 2020. Can you hear me? Everyone, mute yourself. Going back to our discussion, how could that possibly be? So, no, the answer is, first of all, it's not such a question because that's life, okay? That's life. That's the way Hashem made the world. A person has the ability to cause more damage. That's the way the world, the man can destroy this world. We have enough atomic bombs in this world to blow up this world many times over. But there's a deeper answer. And the deeper answer is, Hashem created this world with a principle of zeh l'umazeh. That is the chira. There is a balance. Every single thing in this world, this is built into the DNA of this world, is balance. There has to be parallels, parallelism. And let's explain. Is there such a thing where a parent can teach his child a lesson about life, and the child will take that lesson and succeed in life far, far better and more than his father? Absolutely. If you have a Rebbe, the Talmud Chacham, he has a certain degree of knowledge, a certain degree of Yiras Shamayim, and he has in his class some young students, and he inspires them to be Yoreh Shamayim, to be Talmidei Chachamim. And due to the inspiration of the Rebbe, the Talmidim in the class, they grow, they develop, and they become the most outstanding Yoreh Shamayim and Talmidei Chachamim that the world has ever seen, infinitely greater than the Rebbe who inspired them. Is that a reality of life? It certainly is. And Chazal say, "B'chol adam adam iskane, chutz mibnoi v'talmidoi." A person is jealous. That's the way it goes. Kinas, kina. The world operates. The fuel, the energy of this world is jealousy. It's pasuk in Koheles. V'ri'isi es kol ha'masim asher nas tachas ha'shamayim v'ineu kinas ish me're'eu. I'm probably not quoting the pasuk correctly, but it sounds something along those lines. Shlomo Melech said, I've observed the entire world and it's clear as day to me that the energy, the fuel that guides this world is jealousy. You see someone have a nice toy, I also want that toy. He has a nice car, I want a nice car. But I don't have the money, so you get a better job. This, everything in life is like that. The whole world, every country. Why did the United States send a man to the moon? Because Russia, they sent a man to the moon. They tried to at least send a man to the moon. Why does this country do this? Because the other country does that. That's the way the world goes, jealousy. But there's one mitzvah where jealousy does not exist, and that is a father to watch his child outdo him, a Rebbe to watch his student outdo him. There's no jealousy. There's only satisfaction. But wait a minute, it doesn't make any sense. How could that be? How can it be that a parent or a Rebbe can inspire their children and their students to be greater than they themselves will ever be? It's not fair. If your success is only because of me, don't you think I should get a kickback? I should get just as much as what you have? How could there be such a reality that I can go inspire a person and he can go on and use what I've given him, the tools to become greater than the Rebbe, than the person we got it from? Well, guess what? That's the way it works. And would anyone in this world give that up? No one. No one. Everyone has this a sincere desire for him to create something good in this world that is greater than the Creator itself. The same way that principle is true in good, it has to be true in evil. Because the way Hashem made the world, the basic building block, the DNA of this world is, there has to be a parallel. Zeh l'uma ze bara Elokim. It's not fair. It's definitely not fair that a person should be able to create a mamzer and he's not a mamzer. It's not fair that a person has the ability to create a cholol and he's not a cholol. He can't do avoiding the Beis HaMikdash, but I can. Why? Because I got divorced. I created a cholol and I got divorced. But the child can still never do avoida because the child is a permanent cholol. But I can do avoida. How could that be? How could it be that I can do in this world more damage than myself? It has to be like that. Because if you were not able to do that, you would not be able to create children and students that would outdo you. If you'll go and set the rules, the parameters, that, listen, if I can do the avoida, so the child can do the avoida. If you'll tell me that if the child can't do the avoida, I can't do the avoida. If the child's a mamzer, so I'm a mamzer. If that's the way it's going to be, and that's fair, right? That's fair. That makes a lot of sense. Then there's a consequence. You know what the consequence is? Your product of good cannot be better than you. If you only are able to master a few mesechtos, then the reality would have to be that your students cannot possibly know more than you. Because it can't be that the product is greater than the source. But no one would give up for one second the ability, the yearning for man to create a product that's greater than himself. Being that's true, it comes with a price. It comes with a danger, with the reality that a person can also do more harm than good. You can create a product that can be more harmful than you yourself. There is always a balancing act built into the world that Hashem has created. Take that idea and apply it to Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is the worst month of the whole year. We are beyond a shadow of a doubt historically. It's worse than Chodesh Av, much worse, because Chodesh Tammuz was a month that we entered in for the very first time, from the first time of HaChodesh HaZel, from the time that Hashem gave us the calendar, the Jewish calendar. Everything is rooted in the Shirashim and the roots of when time was given to Klal Yisrael. HaChodesh Elohim Rosh Chodashim. We entered into this month with anticipation, happiness, and looking forward to the most beautiful moment of history. Looking forward to that day when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Shemayim holding in his hand Hashem's gift. What gift? The Luchos Rishonos. The Luchos Rishonos, we have no comprehension of what that gift was all about. All we know is V'haluchos Ma'asei Elokim Hema. There is no object on this earth which you can say those words. It was crafted physically by Hashem himself. And then in that object, Hashem etched the words of the Aseres HaDibros, which includes the entire Torah. And when Moshe came down, that's what we were looking forward to. Well, we had the second Luchos is not. The second Luchos Hashem says, no more, you lost it for good. I'm not going to be Ma'asei Elokim. You, Moshe, go quarry your own stones. And the most you'll have will be the letters, which is something which is not even tangible because it's Chokok Ala Luchos. It's not even tangible what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, because the letters are just hollowed out spaces. But the Luchos Rishonos, the Luchos Ma'asei Elokim, we're waiting. You know, people. They sit the whole day. They can't wait for Amazon to deliver a package for $5. The biggest gedula, oh, when is the mail coming? When am I going to get that package? Oh, the package has arrived. Can you imagine the package arriving and the moment to know what the package is? The halucha is Ma'asei Elokim Hema. What kind of anticipation we were looking forward to as Chodesh Tammuz began? And how did Chodesh Tammuz end? I'm going to destroy every last one of you. There will not be left from Klal Yisrael nothing. Hedeth mimenu v'ashmidim. That's how we began the month, and that's how we ended the month. We went nikotze el hakotze. No other month you have such an extreme about face. But what did we just spend 20 minutes explaining? Ze l'uma ze baro elokim. Everything has to have a parallel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this month, in our history, we went to an extreme that does not appear any other of the 12 months, Mikotze el HaKotze, then it's possible to go into Chodesh Tammuz with what are our expectations this month? Daigus over Corona, what's going to be? Is it going to end? Is it not going to end? What's going on? You have daigos, parnos, there's a lot of uncertainty. A lot of uncertainty in the economy, in public health, in this country. The whole foundation, the stability of this country is in danger, is in jeopardy. What's gonna be? And the United States, if they suffer, the whole world suffers. The United States is a superpower of the world that looked up to. What's going to be? There's a possibility in Chodesh Tammuz to go mikotze el hakotze, to come out of this month with satisfaction and excitement and yearning for days that are beyond our wildest imagination. Days of joy, days where we have success, a yearning for satisfaction, fulfillment, and bracha. That's Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz is the month of V'nahapachu. V'nahapachu. It's more than Purim. Okay, more than Purim. You know, the first, we're going back to the Shoreshim, because you know, Purim was is a much later holiday. Purim is, came on the scene during the time of the Chorim. We're going to the very first month, the very first, go through the Chadashim, the very first months of Jewish history. That is one idea to think about in Chodesh Tammuz. Another idea about Chodesh Tammuz, this is not only unique to Chodesh Tammuz, but just this idea, always intrigues me, this idea. Chodesh Tammuz comes after a month that is always Moleh. Chodesh Sivan, today that we're now Makashal Piriya, there's a set calendar. Chodesh Sivan always has 30 days. Okay? Beli Yoitze Benaklal. Chodesh Sivan has 30 days, which means there's always going to be two days Rosh Chodesh for Chodesh Tammuz. Today, the first day Rosh Chodesh is really the 30th day. Today is the 30th day of Sivan, and tomorrow will be the first day of Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Av and Chodesh Tammuz always has 29 days. It's always chaser, always 29 days, which means that Chodesh Av is always one day Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh Tammuz is always 2 days Rosh Chodesh, and Chodesh Av is always 1 day Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Chodesh Tammuz follows a month that is always Moleh, that always has 30 days, and when a month has 30 days, we celebrate day 30 as Rosh Chodesh, because a month really is 29 days. So when it's 30, 30 might be actually the next month. But we don't know that. And the calendar has been established based upon when Makash al Piriya. So we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Tammuz itself only has 29 days. There's never more than 29 days. So therefore there's only 1 day. Therefore there's only 1 day Rosh Chodesh. Day 30 is Rosh Chodesh. Day 30 is really the first day Rosh Chodesh. So what does that mean in essence? It's not unique to Chodesh Tammuz. What it means is that Chodesh Tammuz gets what it deserves. In other words, it overlaps. It starts early. Put it like that. It starts a day early. Today is only the 30th day of Sivan. So what are we doing on this day celebrating Tammuz? Zelo v'ganovim. It's like mamash ganovim. Today is Chodesh Sivan. It's day 30. And you ask everyone, oh, a good Chodesh. Where's the cheese danishes? Where are the donuts? Where's the coffee? Where's the tikkun for Rosh Chodesh? Oh, excuse me, it's not Tammuz. Today is Sivan. You ganovim. What are you, Chodesh Sivan, if Chodesh Sivan can speak, can talk up, he would take us to court and say, I'm offended. You've stepped upon me. What are you doing to me? Today is Chodesh Sivan. Why is everyone talking today? Oh, it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. It's not. Chodesh Tammuz, does anyone ever step on Chodesh Tammuz? No. Because Chodesh Tammuz ends on day 29, and the next day is Chodesh Av. So Chodesh Tammuz is complete. It's so complete, no one steps on it. No one takes away from it. And it, in fact, takes away from someone else. Chodesh Tammuz starts a day early. It chaps a rain from Chodesh Sivan. We already celebrate the last day of Chodesh Sivan. We call it already Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. We start a day early, so to speak. Not on the calendar, but we call it Rosh Chodesh. But nobody would dare step on the turf of Chodesh Tammuz. Because Chodesh Tammuz ends on day 29, and the next day is Rosh Chodesh Av, and that's it. It's only one day Rosh Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av did not step on the turf and take away from Chodesh Tammuz days, because it's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not that Chodesh Tammuz is exact 29. There's a certain shlemus of Chodesh Tammuz. It comes early, and no one does not leave early. Think about that. Go to shul. How many people come early to shul? And even those who come early to shul, some of them, they come early because they have to leave early. How many people, they come early and they stay later? Now, Chodesh Tammuz doesn't go into Chodesh Av, but at least it does not leave early. Tammuz is a month of shlemus. It comes early, stays to the very end. No one takes away anything from it. That also, in and of itself, is a lesson of time. The Chodoshim represent HaChodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodoshim Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Shleimus over time. We all know that time is not in our hands. We all learned the lesson many times that we don't control our time. We don't have control. There are things that we have to do which are beyond our control. I remember when I was bar mitzvah, this goes back 1,000 years ago. And my father, he invited someone very, very choshev to my bar mitzvah, a very, very, very distinguished person. And he wrote back a very beautiful letter. I don't know where it is, I have to search for it. And in the letter he wrote that he would definitely come, but time, I don't remember his exact words, but his words were, it's not my time. I don't own my time. I work for this organization, one of these big organizations, and I have shibudim, I have obligations. And I don't have time. It's not that I don't have time. It's a much more profound way of you said something, I don't have time. It's like, it's an insult. So make time. What do you mean you don't have time? Make time. You have time for all the other mishigasim in your life, so this you don't have time for? Make time. No, I really don't have time, because it's not my time. It's not my time. I am a servant of an organization, and I am in their hands, and at their disposal, and they own my time, and they dispatch me on missions to do for them, which take up time. It's not my time. We all know what that means. Everyone has obligations, and the obligations demand that you takes away from your time. It's not your time. But every once in a while, you do have time. You do have shleimus over your time. Chodesh Tammuz is a month of shleimus over your time. No one is stepping on your time. Av, Chodesh Av, will never come and step on Chodesh Tammuz. And not only that, Chodesh Tammuz is given the ability to overlap and to take away the time from Chodesh Sivan. Chodesh Tammuz is dominant in regard to Zman. It takes away someone else's time to a degree, but no one would dare take away its time. You don't have that by most of the Chodashim. By most of the Chodashim, someone is taking away from your time, and there's no guarantee. No, there are variables. When will you be chaser? When will you be male? When will someone take away your time? When will you not take away your time? You have to make a calculation. I didn't make the calculation. I'm not too smart to make the calculation of how many times this phenomenon appears, like Chodesh Tammuz. I don't think it's too common. Maybe there's only one or two other months. You have to make how many months this applies. This principle applies of where you are the Baal HaBos over time. No one takes away from you, but you can take away from someone else. That's a very big bracha. That's a very powerful bracha in reference to Zman, and that's something that we should extract from when it comes to Chodesh Tammuz. Okay, now I want to read to you, go through with the Mefarshim. I want to actually put on the screen, because it's easy to do with the Mefarshim. What exactly does the word Tammuz mean? So this is a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel Perek Ches. I'm going to put it on the screen. Once upon a time we learned this. But once we're learning Chodesh Tammuz, it's kedai to see the words inside. Perek Ches, pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, I'm going to put on the screen the pasuk, and many commentators tell us this is the makar of the word Tammuz, and this is what to learn when we focus on this month. Not sure I'm going to come out. Okay, we'll spend a few minutes seeing different interpretations inside of Tammuz and how it's relevant to us. Yep, the pictures came out the wrong way. I don't know why. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Do it again, okay? Just gotta do it again. Trying one at a time. All right, let's do one at a time. Okay, here's the picture. Okay, so this is the end of the pasuk. I don't have the whole pasuk here. But let's try just to do a little bit. I read at the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk reads as follows. The pasuk says, "Vayavei oisei el pesach hashasha." The one that's speaking here is Yecheskel, and Yecheskel was the navi at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, who was in Bavel, in Galus, and Hashem took him virtually Hashem took him to Nevuah. Hashem took him to the Beis Hamidrash. Vayaveroisi el Pesach Shar, but Beis Hashem. Asher el Hatzafoina, the northern gate of the Beis Hamidrash. Okay, the northern gate. Vinei Sham. Now today, you go today to the Koisel Hamaravi. The northern gate is basically in East Jerusalem. Okay, that's where the northern gate is. The northern gate is in East Jerusalem. That's part. If you go on the tunnel tour. Okay, if you go on the tunnel tour, and they let you out, they take you out on the north. Okay, you go along the west. Let me make sure I'm saying this correctly. Right, yeah, it's the northern gate. That's you go along the Koisel Hamaravi into the caves, into the tunnels. You go to the very, very end of the tunnels on the tunnel tour. You come on the north. So Hashem took him to the Tzafai, Shar HaTzafai, Mavine Sham HaNoshim Yoshvois, sitting Mivakois Es HaTamuz. Okay, do you see in this pasuk over here? Es HaTamuz. Targum says, V'sham there Tamon Yosvan Mivakyon. They were crying Yas Tamuzah. Now, what does that mean? So look at Rashi. I just want to go through different mafashim. What it means, the word Tamuz, and how it relates then to our month. Pashas is where Tamuz is the name of this month that was used in Bavel. The names of the months of the Hebrew calendar we know were taken from non-Jewish names of months that were common in our host countries. Not every name. It's a little bit of a mystery, some of the names of the months, but it does not appear that the name of the month that we use, it's very bizarre. The name of the month that we use to refer to our Chodoshim are not Jewish words. They are words that were taken, which represent Jewish things, that were taken from the Goyim, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, other nations. The real way to refer to a month is by number. The real way to refer to Tammuz is Chodesh HaRevi. Someone wants to know, today is Rosh Chodesh of Chodesh HaRevi. This that we have a convention to call it Tammuz, and these words are used in Tanakh to refer to the Chodoshim. This is something which Klal Yisrael took with them from Golos, which would appear that during the time of the Bayis Rishon, they did not refer to the Chodoshim with these names. In those days, the time of after the giving of the Torah until the Churban, that's 890 years, the way Klal Yisrael will refer to the months is by number. The first month, the second month, the third month. This is the fourth month. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, we went to Golos. Somehow, during that Tukufa, those 70 years, we adapted names for the Chodoshim, secular names that were used by the Goyim. And Tammuz became the name for the fourth month of the year. Where does the word Tammuz come from? So here it says that the women were crying on the Tammuz. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi is something very fascinating. Selim echad shemchamois oisai mibifnim. Look what they did. Look at this incredible avodah zarah. This horrible avodah zarah. There was an image of a tselem shemchamois, which they heated oisai mibifnim. They made it hot on the inside. They burnt a fire on the inside. No one would see the fire. Vayu einav shel oiferes, and they would put eyeballs of lead in this image. Vehem nitoichin. And the fire that was burning behind, like a magician's trick, that was burning, would cause the lead to melt. It looks like it's crying. The oimrois, and they would say to the worshippers who came to this idol, oh, give it an offering. This idol is demanding an offering, a gift. We tell the petitioners, the worshippers, the visitors, look, the idol is crying. The idol wants you to give it a gift. He wants you to bow down to it, to worship it, to offer sacrifices. how in the world does the word Tammuz refer to that? Tammuz l'shoin hesek. Because the true word for Tammuz means fire. Kmo aldi chazei l'mezia, which is fit for burning. Okay, this refers to the, I think this refers to the furnace. That was Chananya Mishal Vazar. But over here, Aldi Chazana, I don't know the context. But the word means Tammuz, and comes to Lemezia, means for burning. The Atuna Azeyatira, a fire that is very, very hot. Atuna means an oven. Azey means kindled. Yatira, very much. The temperature is on a very high temperature. Mevaka, he says, Tammuz. So Mechol, ordinarily, he doesn't have an army in front of him. Normally, he would go and he would tell us what the French translation of these words mean. So what do we take away from the Rashi? Rashi tells us there were Noshim that were sitting, Mevakois, Vinei Sham, HaNoshim, Yoishvois, Mevakois Es HaTamos, which means they were causing, Loshon Hifil, Mevakois, they were causing the Tamos, the idol, to cry. They were heating up, made a fire, and that fire caused the lead to melt, and when the lead melt, then it came out of the sockets of the idol as if it was tears, and that would be a trick, a technique, in order to inspire people. They should offer sacrifices to the god. That's called Tammuz. Okay, that was the name of the idol. Now let's take a look over here at the Metsudos David. The Metsudos David says something there. Basically, says exactly the same thing. So we don't need to do it. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. Okay, Radak is very interesting. Mevakois es hatamos, yeish mefarshim ki mevakois hu kinui, roitz aloymar misamchois es hatamos. Okay, it's a kinui. What do we mean? Mevakois is not to be taken literally. Mevakois it's a euphemism. It means they would rejoice, and the Navi is writing this in the sense, just like we call idols atzabim. Why is an idol called Otsev? Miloshen Otsev, sad. Because there's these people that are so foolish. They think that offering these objects will bring them happiness. Why are they offering it sacrifice? Because they're looking to have a life of happiness. It's not going to bring them any happiness. It will bring them disappointment, despair, tsar. It's not Otsev. It's not simcha. It's sadness. Same exact thing according to the Ma'al Radak, when it says Himavakois, it does not mean that they were crying. It means they were rejoicing in front of the idol. And the Navi is mocking them by not calling their partying rejoicement. It's rather it is sadness. Let's see. Mevakos Tammuz, Yesh Mefarshim, Ki Mevakois, Hukino Yretzoloimar, Misamchois. Es Tammuz, Beyerach, Tammuz hayoisim chag la'avoy dezara. Okay, this Radak is the reason why, because this really is coming to teach us, this really hits the nail on the head, why Chazal have adapted Tammuz to be our month of Tammuz. Let's see what he says. In this month, they would make, it was the Goyim in this civilization, this country, I guess, Eretz Yisrael, they adapted the idols of the pagans, of the Zara, who lived in Canaan. And what do? They made a festival, Avodah Zarah. For you, Hanoshim Boos L'Samchoi, women would come to rejoice. The Yesh Mefarshim. Some say, Shayub Oisim B'Tachbulois, this is what it said before in Rashi. B'Tachbulois Shayavohu Hamayim Le'ene Avodah Zarah. They would bring water to the eyes of Avodah Zarah. Hanikres Tammuz, Vahoya Boycha, Loima Shahoya Shol Shayavdu. Now over here he doesn't talk about over here that it was burnt. He just says that they had some like water guns. They had some pipes which would artificially discharge water in order to make believe that it's crying. Now then he goes further. Vyesh Mefarshim Shatamus Hasaruf Min Lemeze Latuna means fire. Rotzalaimar, Shayboychis al Oiso Shahoya Saruf, Holnupshat. They would cry over the victim. Moilach. They would take a person and they would burn him in front of the idol, and people would cry over the death of this person that was offered as a sacrifice. Shayyusarif, Shayyusarif Minaim Unasem Ba'esh, Vyanoshim Hoyboychis, as some women would cry, Mevakois, Minhadogush, Kumarocha Mevaka Albonecha. Okay, now before we go further, let's just extract what we've just read in the Malbum. The Radak. The Radak has said over here so many things which become extremely relevant regarding why we call this month Chodesh Tammuz. There was a custom that during this month, let's go one step at a time, they would worship idols and women would come to rejoice. They would rejoice in its presence. Guess what, Rabbi Sai? We also had an Avodah Zarah during this time of the year. You know what that Avodah Zarah was? The Egel. We went, and know what we did? Moshe Rabbeinu, we heard the mechoil, the rikudim, the dancing, and the mechoilos, and the mechoilos, the dancing. There was dancing. They were dancing around the Egel Hazav. We had a festival. We did the same thing. And the festival, we rejoiced. Did the rejoicement really lead to our simcha? It didn't lead to simcha. It led to Moshe Rabbeinu coming down and destroying and shattering the luchas. It led to Moshe saying, Mila Hashem Elai, and Sheva Levi, killing, wiping out everyone who participated in the Egel. It resulted in horrible things. Did the dancing around the Egel result in simcha, or did it result in bechia? It resulted in a lot of crying for Klal Yisrael. We lost out quite a bit because of the Avodah Zarah that we worshipped during Chodesh Tammuz. As a reminder, as a painful reminder to the chait of the Egel Hazav, which we suffer with Ad Hayoim Hazeh, Chazal were very clever, and they told us, why don't you call this month Chodesh Tammuz? Because Chazal thought, or Chazal hoped, that every single Jew, Orthodox Jew in this world, would know this pasuk on their tongue, know Tanakh, literally Baal Peh, inside out, and know every mefarish there is on every single pasuk in Tanakh. And when you say the word Tammuz, it automatically brings up in your mind the story of Yecheskel, where Yecheskel saw the Noshim, the women, were Mevakois al HaTamos, and the word Mevakois is a euphemism to mean they were dancing and rejoicing around this idol at this time of the year, because they thought it would bring them joy. Well, guess what we did in Chodesh Tammuz? We did exactly the same thing. You know what the irony is? The one who did not want to rejoice were the women. They're the ones who refused to give up their jewelry for the Chedo Egel. So when the women didn't want to give up the jewelry, normally the women, they're the most vulnerable. The women are normally, they're easy. You just have to persuade them. Wow, that's a real racist comment, right? I don't mean it like that. But women are much, it's a mila. Women are much more sympathetic to the cause. And if Klal Yisrael will be able to convince them, you know, it's a good idea, they would be the first ones to show sympathy to give up of their jewelry for the Egel. And guess what? They said, this is a mishigas. Absolutely not. We're not going to kneel. We're not going to give in to these crazy, crazy ideas. We're not going to defund our jewelry fund, our beauty fund. Are you kidding? You want to defund our account that we set aside money to buy jewelry? No way, Jose. It's not going to happen. They refused to give of their jewelry. So the men had no choice to go take their own earrings and their own jewelry to make the Egel. Chazal here are mamish making litzanis of us. They're saying to us, in this chodesh, Klal Yisrael worship the Egel Hazav. The Egel Hazav, they tried to take the jewelry from the women. No go. They had to go take their own jewelry. And what do? They danced, they had joy. When you read this pasuk, Vahine Sham, they were Noshim, Yoishvais Mevakos Esatamus, they were women who were rejoicing around the Tammuz. And what about you, Klal Yisrael? What did you do during Chodesh Tammuz? You were also rejoicing around the idol, and it's even worse. You were even worse, because when you went to the women and you told the women, "Nu, can you give us your jewelry?" They said, "No, you had to go take your own jewelry." It's such a painful reminder of the entire story of the Egel. Furthermore, what are the Radak say in the second interpretation? What else did they do? They took their children and they burnt them. They burnt them in front of the Avodah Zarah, like Moilich. They burnt their children, and the Noshim cried. When they saw their children being burnt, the women cried. What did Klal Yisrael do when they brought the Egel? Who tried to stop them? Chor. Who was Chor? Chor was the son of Miriam. Is that correct? Rabbi Vayevsky, is that correct? Chor was the son of Miriam? I'm forgetting. Was the husband of Miriam. Chor, so who's Chor's mother? She was her husband. Okay, so it was Miriam's husband? Chor was Miriam's husband, yeah?
Khalid was his, wasn't he?
I think it was Miriam. I think Miriam was his mother, I think. If I'm not mistaken, Miriam was the mother of Chor. Maybe I'm wrong. But Miriam, I forgot my Bible.
Miriam was the wife of
Khalid. Khalid, right. So who is Chor? I think Chor. What? Betzalel, Ben Salel, Ben Uri, Ben Chor, Lamate, Betzalel.
He was a grandson. Betzalel, Ben
Uri, Ben Chor, Lamate, Yehuda. Lamate, so camp, so Lamate, Yehuda. That was Betzalel. That was Betzalel. But Chor was something to do with Miriam. I forgot. He's from Mati Yehuda. Mati Yehuda. I don't remember. Okay, I'm forgetting. But they took a person, and the chet. One thing we don't appreciate about the chet or egel. The chet or egel involved human sacrifice. It was like moilach. Who was the sacrifice in the chet or egel? Who was sacrificed for the chet or egel? Chor. Chor was a sacrifice, was a sacrifice, a tzaddik that was sacrificed in honor of the Chet or Egel. He wasn't offered to the Egel. It was even worse. He stood in the way of allowing the Egel to exist. So they sacrificed him. Isn't that what it says over here? It says, why were the Noshim Mevakos? You know why they were crying? Because they would take human beings, their children, and they would sacrifice them in front of this idol that they worshipped in Chodesh Tammuz. Every Chodesh Tammuz, we remember not just the Egel. It's bad enough we offer the Egel. That was bad enough. Part of one of the big tragedy of the Egel is that we offered Chor. He was sacrificed. He was murdered in order that no one should stand in opposition to the making of this Egel. Isn't that what it says here in this pasuk? They were crying over the people who died, the children who died, in sacrifice of the Tammuz. We reflect upon that as well. Okay, now let's go further over here. One more, another, and let's go back to the Radak on his last pshat. Okay, the Radak says v'harav. Right, so we should come up. Here it is. The harav Hachacham Hagadol Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Maimon. The Rambam, the Heiluk Rambam, Kosav, Ki Nimsa Kosav Misifrei Hu Avodos Hakad Moinim, Ki Hoye Ish Minivi Avodos Zaru Shmoi Tamos. There was a person. We have so many Perushim. Was the name of an idol. Was basically it's the name of an idol. That's what we learned. That's according to most of the commentators, it's the name of an idol. There was a person. His name was Tammuz. V'koro lemelech echad v'tzivo la'avoid shiva koich v'lechaz v'shneim osem azoles. And the king called him and commanded him to worship the seven planets and the 12 mazoles. V'hemisohu ha'melech ahu miso mishuna. He didn't want to worship the idols. He died al kiddush Hashem. Okay, is this bizarre or what? All of the idols got together from the entire world and they had a conversation. They woke up. Let's read it one more time. Okay, very bizarre what's going on over here. The Rambam. Okay, it doesn't get more bizarre than this. Guarantee you. This is like the spitz of the spitz. You have a Rambam. The Rambam is not into this type of stuff. This is not the typical type of stuff they learn in Brisk about the Rambam. The Rambam, the Lomdis, all the Tifa Lomdis, Reb Chaim on the Rambam, Reb Chaim, I don't think Reb Chaim was Machadish Chidushim on this particular Rambam. He was a prophet of Avodah Zarah, Shmo Tamos. V'koro lemelech echad. What happened over here exactly? He called the king. V'tzivohu la'avoid shiva koich v'ledes. This person by the name of Tamos, he called to a king and he commanded him to serve the shiva koich v'leches u'shnei mosem azolos. V'hem misohu ha'melech ahu misa meshuneh. Okay, and the king did not want to worship. The melech did not want to bow down to these idols. And instead the melech went, and the melech killed him. Uvelel Moisa, in the night of his death, hiskabsu kol hatzlamim miktsoy saaretz el hechal bavel, to bavel, etzelem hazav, shehu tzelem hashemesh, v'yezeh tzelem toli ben shmayim v'aretz, v'naf al asech ha-hechal, it fell down, and this some told them what's going to happen, that tomorrow they're going to kill Tammuz. Tammuz is the greatest guy. Tammuz, he worships all of us, and now Tammuz is going to be dead tomorrow. All the tzlam began to cry, oh gewalt, what's going to happen to Tammuz? Tammuz, the only one who worships us, and now he's going to be killed tomorrow. What's going to be? The they woke up, lehichalem, b'ktsos aretz, v'zeh, now here is, Rabbi Yisai, we're holding here, Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, yeh b'yoyim ha'sheni, v'yoyim ha'shlishi, we're holding here, and the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz, v'yizeh lechem l'choyk oylem, b'tchilas, yoyim rishoyin, me'chodesh Tammuz, tonight, is the anniversary. This is the Rambam, the Halakha Rambam, Rav Moshe ben Maimon. B'chol shana yispidu v'yifku al hatamos. All of the constellations, all of the stars, they tonight have a eulogy, a memorial service for this fellow Tammuz that was killed by the Melech. The Melech ordered his execution to die a Misa Mishuna. Now, that is super bizarre. Isn't this a little bit strange? How does that play out? Chazal in Bavel felt, according to the Rambam, that this story is so significant, we should remember this, we should take this, and we should memorialize it forever by calling our months Chodesh Tammuz. Who is the Melech? Obviously, it's the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all a mashal. The Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to give in to this nonsense. This fellow Tammuz was a worshiper of all the sun, the stars, the mazalos, and he invited the Melech. And Hashem says, this is forbidden. There's only one Melech. The Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Al Kein Nekavu Lecha Hashem Lekein Liras Mir B'Seferes V'Zech La'avir Gilulim Min Ha'aretz. And what's the problem? The problem is, this is where it comes into the Bein HaMetzarim. Instead of all of the people coming to acknowledge Enoch Nami, there's Ribbono Shel Olam, there's the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, they didn't get the message. Instead, what did they do? They eulogized the loss of Tammuz. That is what happens every year to us, Rabbi Yisai, during the Bein HaMetzarim. It's a lost opportunity. We relive the Chorban Beis HaMikdash every single year. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes down and tells us, "Nu, enough. It's time to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if it was destroyed." We go through the process every year, and instead of taking the message, we'll let the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed, and we just continue go on with our merry lives. It's exactly what happened in this story. Along comes the Melech and says to Tammuz, "The Meshugana, what are you worshipping all this nonsense? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get rid of you." The world, what is their reaction? Instead of acknowledging that the Melech is correct and Tammuz was the fool and Tammuz deserved the Misa Mishuna, they take the wrong message. They eulogize Tammuz. They have Rachmonis on Tammuz. They don't get the message. They just don't get it. Tammuz is not worth eulogizing. Tammuz is the fool. Tammuz is the Rasha. The Melech has finally revealed himself. There's only one Melech, Malchei Hamlochim. What are you worshipping all this Meshugas? Unfortunately, by us not learning the message and changing our lives and bringing Mashiach, we're like the people who are eulogizing Tammuz instead of acknowledging the Melech who has given command not to do this. It's a polite it's a reminder to this story. All right, maybe tomorrow we'll do the Malbim. This with the Mincha Gedolah is another pshat, another very interesting pshat. Maybe tomorrow, maybe not, we'll see. But at least we have a little appreciation that the Tammuz, especially Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, appears in this very bizarre story in the Rambam. Where else you have a month like this? We have the name of the month it can be traced to a Rambam, a Moshe Bar Mamma in the Chochma Gadol in this story. All right, boys, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day.
Chor is Ben Miriam.
Chor is the son of Miriam, right? So I was right. So if Chor is the son of Miriam, that's why she was crying. The Noshim Mevakos Al HaTammuz. What happened in Tam? What happened? According to the Radak's first interpretation, they come to this Avodah Zarah. Women are sitting there, they're crying. Why are you crying? They took my son and they burnt him as an offering to Tammuz. I'm sad. I lost a child. I'm bereaved. What happened in Chodesh Tammuz by us? We did the same thing. We made an eagle and there was a fellow who said, "No, you're not allowed to do this." So what did we do? We took him, we killed him. Who's the one who suffered the most with Chor's death? His mother. His mother is the one, a mother is the one who suffers the most when a child, Rachmana Litzlan, leaves this world. So who's the Noshim here? Miriam. Klal Yisrael betrayed Miriam in Chodesh Tammuz. The month is called Chodesh Tammuz, don't ever forget what you did to Miriam. Miriam was the one that was responsible for the Moshion Shel Yisrael. She told her father, Amram, you're worse than Paro. Paro is Goizal HaZuchorim, and you're Goizal on the Nikevois. And because of her words, she restored Klal Yisrael. Amram took back Yocheved. They had Moshe Rabbeinu. She was the inspiration. She was our inspiration, even more so than Moshe Rabbeinu. There were three partners, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And look what we did to her. Look how we betrayed her. We took her child and we slaughtered him. Why? We want to have fun. Fun, 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 fun. We want to go dance around the Egel. Isn't that what it says over here in this pasuk? In this month, in Chodesh Tammuz, there was a ceremony where they worshipped this idol called Tammuz, and the way they would worship the idol was by taking children and slaughtering them or burning them in front of the idol, and the poor mothers could not bear to see this. They broke down and they cried. No, we did the same thing. We're no different. Don't forget it. Every year when you get to this month, Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, it's not a happy thing. You should remember your averus and do tshuva, become better people. It's one shot. The Rambam is even more off the books, more bizarre. On Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, there was this crazy, bizarre story where this fellow, whose name was Tammuz, he was executed because he worshipped idols. And what did the people, what did everyone do? They eulogized him. Oh, excuse me. Instead of eulogizing him, why don't you spit on his grave because Hitaka was a Rasha? Don't we make the same mistake every year? We make the same mistake every year. Instead of getting the message, we get deeply more entrenched in the problem. Baisai, we should have a mazel tov chodesh.
Amen.
It should be nishapech miyagoin l'simcha me'afer l'argadol mishibu l'gula hashda ba'agolah v'zman kariv v'naymar. Amen. Have a wonderful day.
I got
to go for
the grandson. Bye.
What? Okay.
Bye. What'd you get, mazel tov, Mark?
He has to learn with his Mark's grandson. Up. He has to learn. He has to zoom with his grandson.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Rabbi Sai. Enjoy your day.
I'm doing up in Montreal.
Goodbye.
Hello? Hello?